It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, April 5th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Mesa County Department of Human Services might be the target of an impending lawsuit. Last fall, 21-year-old Sydney White was sentenced to 30 years in prison after pleading guilty to child abuse resulting in death. Angel Place was an 11-month-old child in foster care of White. The Daily Sentinel reports the infant's biological father, Theodore Place, is seeking close to $1 million from the county on allegations of negligence. After the girl's death, a state investigation found the county didn't adequately run a risk assessment of the new foster family. Meetings that were supposed to take place don't show up in the records. Since the death of Angel Place, new risk assessment policies have been enacted across the state. Montrose County recently received a sizable grant to help pay for the cost of building a new indoor arena and event center. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The Colorado Department of Local Affairs awarded the county $1 million through its Energy Impact Program,
which we are very grateful to have gotten.
Montrose County Manager Ken Norris says the need for an indoor arena and event center is driven by the demand to use Friendship Hall and the outdoor arena at the fairgrounds.
That is really our preferred next capital improvement. We think that would be very helpful to the economy of the area.
The proposed facility includes seating for up to 6,000 people, meeting rooms, a ticketing area, stables, and parking. Norris says the project could cost between $5 to $8 million. He says the county plans to break ground this summer and wrap up construction in 2018. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
One of the worst cases of animal abuse in Delta County was discovered last week. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
A family of starving dogs was rescued from a private residence just south of Delta last week. They were brought to a facility run by CAWS, the Citizens for Animal Welfare and Shelter. Serena Ward is the kennel manager for their adoption center.
There was a mom and daddy, a litter that's about a year old, and a litter that is 5 months old. They all lived in a little, pretty much like 8x8 kennel. Daddy had already died of starvation.
They found evidence that the animals were eating anything available, rope, blankets, and dog collars. When Ward got the call about the 8 dogs, the shelter was already full, 13 dogs in 12 kennels. Thanks to a shelter in Cedar Edge, they were able to make room for these new dogs. She says they aren't used to people and were aggressive with food.
I am the old Cedar Ridge Animal Control Officer. I've been a vet tech for 12 years before that. Here in Delta County, I've never seen anything like that in the 22 years that I've worked in Delta County as an animal care provider.
She says now the dogs are doing much better. They've put on weight and even stop eating when they're full. Some of the older dogs might need more care and socialization, but after only 1 week, the young puppies are already cleared for adoption.
No reason why a person's pet needs to go hungry. We have programs where they can come up and they can tell me, I need pet food, and I will feed their animal for them.
Ward also thanks the outpouring of support that the shelter received. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Democratic-controlled House passed the state budget on Friday with 5 Republicans also backing it. The bill now heads to the Republican-controlled Senate. As part of our weekly Capitol conversation, Benta Berkland talks to State House reporters about the debate and what to expect going forward.
I'm joined here by John Frank, a reporter with the Denver Post, and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. A lot of amendments this year in the House, very few actually passed. And I think that the debate wasn't as passionate as we've seen in previous years, Ed.
It's not unusual to not see a lot of amendments pass. But what I think was interesting this year was that even the ones that were up for debate were pretty minor in nature. And I think that is a reality of what the JBC had to do to balance this $27 billion budget. I mean, you know, they had to get lucky in some ways that we had far fewer school children in enrolled than we expected, and that the economy turned down in the last quarter of last year so that we had a lower revenue cap that wasn't going to exceed the Tabor cap. When you look at some of the amendments, there was the usual, hey, let's you know, gut film incentive funding. There was more of the let's provide new funding to transportation than normal, I think we saw. And of course, the wonderful symbolic amendments like let's stop refurbishing the governor's mansion and pay for more inspectors of oil and gas. But it felt a little toned down this year.
Ed's right. There were a few battles, but not maybe as many as last year. But what we saw were some election messaging here with let's put more money to roads, let's put more money to education. The Republicans hammered that over and over. I think we'll see that again as we get closer to November. Now the debate moves over to the Senate, and that's going to be interesting because it's a Republican-controlled chamber. Whether the fight ramps up or not is the storyline we'll be really looking for. In the House, of course, five Republicans voted for the budget.
Yeah, I think one of the few areas where I think we're going to see some big possible changes is in the funding of the state's air quality division. When the budget was conceived by the JBC, there was no Republican support for actually funding $8.5 million that goes to the division, which oversees all kinds of permitting and inspections. This could have some pretty big effects. It essentially mean that we would defer all air quality permitting for industries ranging from brewing to oil and gas drilling to the EPA. The Democrats put it back in the House. It's likely the Republicans will try to take something back out in the Senate, but they're going to be more targeted, I'm told, to go after the funding they think is going to the Clean Power Plan. It's a federal program that is right now on hold because of a Supreme Court ruling. That's one of the areas we'll see some debate, and that will lead to the bigger picture of where are our priorities and where does the state interact with helping business do business.
What's interesting on the Clean Power Plan is that the governor told us recently that he's not backing down. He's going to push forward on this and continue work on the plan despite the Supreme Court stay and despite this Republican opposition here in Colorado.
One thing it is worth noting is that everybody seemed to come into this year with the idea that this was going to be the year that something gets done on transportation funding. And while there still could be an often discussed bill regarding the hospital provider fee that would free up some $600 million for roads in the next 3 years. We saw the budget process finish up with roads actually getting less funding next year than they are getting in the current year, $32 million less, and Republicans making repeated attempts to try to get some sort of new funding for roads and transit in the budget, all of them getting shot down by the Democrats. And an interesting message came out of this. Several Democrats said, look, you want more funding for roads? Go to the voters, ask for a tax increase. It was a really interesting thing for the state to essentially say, or at least one of the two ruling parties in the state to say, we're not putting more money to roads. That's up to the voters to decide if they're willing to tax themselves for it.
Thanks, Ed Seelever with the Denver Business Journal and John Frank with the Denver Post. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.